in the Lord tonight? Can I see your hand? Okay. You know what? It's only God that makes a man happy. Because things in this world, they can't make you happy. It'll always disappoint you. Stuff breaks. Stuff wears out. It gets repossessed. Whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Stuff doesn't make you happy. Did you know people can't even make you happy? Now, stuff and people can make you happier, but only God can make you happy. I am so thankful for the report that Ann McMillan gave us. The outreach through the Love Center was the biggest one we've had thus far. About, what, 12 or so of your teammates out on the street passing out clothing and food and sandwiches, telling people about Jesus. I tell you, if you want to be a part of that outreach evangelistic team, you see Ann. Ann, wave at me. There she is right there. Just wave. And you go ahead and see her and get to be a part of that. That's going to be fantastic. And Brother Al, do we have your times yet for your meetings with, not yet? Not yet. Okay, we'll talk about that later then. Okay. Hey, tonight I'm excited because in just 2 weeks, I'm going to begin a new series on Wednesday night and Thursday night on the Christian home. Now, that is inclusive. It's going to be talking about marriage, talking about singles, it's going to talk about raising kids, all of those kind of things. And we're going to put a little spin on it. We're going to put the word on all that stuff. This isn't just going to be psychological jargon. This isn't going to be Dr. Phil. This is going to be the word of God preached, okay? But we're going to see what the word has to say about the Christian home and what does it look like. We're going to define it. So I'm excited about that. Been waiting for it. And all summer long. But tonight, we are blessed because Elder Ron is here. He and his wife, Pat, serve as elders in the ministry. You probably have seen him at the front door welcoming you as you come to church. And his big smile is just difficult to resist. He draws you in. He is such a faithful man, loves the word of the Lord, has pastored, I understand, in the past, has ministered the word of God for many years. We are blessed to have him serving here. Also, a humble man. He doesn't tell you all those things. He doesn't walk around saying, I got all these credentials and I've got all this experience. Matter of fact, he comes on Tuesday, he and Clarence together with Betty, and they help clean the facility. That tells you a lot about a man's character. He loves God and he loves God's house. So come on, get up on your feet. Let's welcome Elder Ron as he comes to minister the word of God tonight.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy in this house. I said he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray first. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity to stand before your people, oh God. Father, I thank you that you're in control right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this place. And Father, right now I yield myself to you. I lay down my life before you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my Redeemer and my strength. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. How many in here love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for the opportunity to come before you today. Today, well, it's been like 2 years God put this word on my heart when I first came to CNC. And I've been holding it and holding it and holding it and holding it until the Holy Spirit tell me to release it. And tonight I got a prophetic word and I believe God is in it. And I believe tonight I just come to stir you up to be able to receive it, because God is getting ready to take CNC to a level that it had never experienced before. I look at the word CNC, and that's what my message is going to be about tonight, is a Christ encounter. A Christ encounter. He said, before you give them the prophecy or the word of the Lord, give them a word that'll stir them up to get them ready for what God is getting ready to do or getting ready to say. Because sometimes our hearts have to be opened up for God to us to receive what God have for us. And I believe this is the time and this is the season that God is getting ready to raise up his people. A lot of us have been asleep. A lot of us have been just laying down, sitting back, and doing nothing. But God, tonight, God is going to stir you up that you can get in your position and do the thing that God called you to do. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I pastored a church for 3 years out in Lorain. And me and my wife, we stayed there for about 7 years. And something inside of me was just sick and tired of church. I said that I wasn't going to do church no more. I wasn't going to do God's people no more because I was sick and tired of church and the people of God. Because when you're in a place and you pouring your all and all into a place and you get hurt, something happens on the inside of you. And I had to stay out of church for like 5 years to get my heart together. And my first coming back into the ministry was at CNC. I said, well, Lord, this is my last chance. This is my last time. If I don't get it right here, if I don't get what I need right here, I'm giving up. And I really meant that. So I came to CNC and I began to sit and hear the message that was being preached. And that word began to stir my spirit. See, sometimes we have to get in the right place at the right time. See, sometimes a lot of people come to places and don't even know if they're supposed to be there or not. Let me show you in the Word. Let's go to the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to get too stirred up here because I want to preach. I haven't preached in about 6 years, y'all, so you look, yeah. And I'm stirred up tonight. Ever since they asked me to bring the Word, I've been stirred up. God just been doing something so special down on the inside of me. I've been getting up early in the morning, getting in His face, and He's just been stirring me up. Brother Clarence and I was going and reading the Word together, and we was going through the Bible, and we just went through the Bible like 60 days? And that thing stirred me up when I began to read the Word of God, and it began to stir up on the inside of me, and then God began to put a word in me. Because when God called me to the ministry, He called me into ministry through Ezekiel, the third chapter. When he called me, He said, I'm going to make you a watchman over my people. And I didn't really know what that mean at that time. And I went on for years and years, and after everywhere that I went, people began to give me that same scripture. Everywhere I went, they began to give me that same scripture. God said, read Ezekiel, third chapter. God said, read Ezekiel. I said, okay, I got it, God. And I began to read that thing, and I began to get it down in my spirit. And when I got it down in my spirit, He told me to eat this scroll and eat it until it becomes sweet in my own belly. You see, when I began to eat it and it became sweet to me, I was able to go tell it. See, tonight, I believe God want to give you a Christ encounter. When you come to CNC, I believe when CNC is built for people to come and get a Christ encounter. Some going to stay and some going to go. Some going to come just to get the Christ encounter because it's here. And they going to know that the anointing of God is in this place every time that they come. So after the night tonight, I just come to stir you up to get in your position and get in place because God is ready to use you. And I believe the pastor have opened up doors for us to operate in our own ministries, but nobody's doing nothing. See, I tell y'all right now, I'm the kind of preacher that tell the truth. And it'll tell you, Jack, one thing about it that God did with me, He gave me holy boldness because where I come from the streets. I come from the drug infested areas. I come from selling drugs. I was on drugs. And God delivered me. So I know that it's real. So sometimes when you see me praising God, I'm praising Him for what He's already done in my life. How many know that God is good? Hallelujah. I get excited when I get in the Word. Okay, let's talk about a Christ encounter for a minute. What do encounter mean? I looked in the dictionary and I got these, and they really excited me when I looked in there and saw what they said. An encounter means a meeting between a hostile faction or a person. A sudden and often violent clash. Or a combat. A chance meeting. A direct, often a momentary meeting or coming into the vicinity of a celestial body. These are definitions come out of the dictionary. And they really excited me. And when I got to this one right here, it really grabbed me. It said to meet as an adversary or enemy, to engage in a conflict, or to come upon something face to face. God gonna give you a face to face tonight. And it's gonna be up to you to receive it. It's gonna be up to you to step into the vicinity of the celestial being that's in this place tonight, which is called the Holy Spirit. See, one thing about the word of God, if you don't receive it, then you can't operate in it. It won't work for you. But if you receive it and apply it to your life, then it'll work. A lot of people say the word don't work. When they tell me the word don't work, you know what I tell them? Well, you ain't read the word. Because the word works whether we use it or not. Amen? Praise God. Okay, let me give you some examples of people who had a Christ encounter. Go with me to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Genesis, the 28th chapter. Sometime when you're having a Christ encounter, everybody in here, if you're born again, you done already had a Christ encounter. Tonight, I just come to stir that Christ encounter that's already on inside of you. When we read in Genesis, the 28th chapter, it says, and started, almost started at verse 10. It said, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. And the sun, at sundown, he arrived at the good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone and rested his head up against it and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed as a stairway of a stairway that reached from the earth. Let me put my glasses on, y'all. Everything is coming together. I was trying to get through it without it, but I can't do it. I'm going to start at verse 12 again. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw the angel of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord and said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from this sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I wasn't even aware of it, but he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. Sometime when we come to church, we have everything on our minds and circumstances that are weighing us down, and we be troubled in our hearts and in our minds. When the Lord show up, sometimes we don't even know he's in the place. You say, well, how you say that? Because how we react to the what's going on with the worship and the praise and everything that happens in the house of God. When the praise of, when the worship and praise of God goes up in the atmosphere, everybody should be on their feet. If you said that we're in the presence of God, I don't think nobody can stand in the presence of a holy God and be still. I know because I've been there, done that. I played church. I pretended. And it didn't do me no good. For years, I went to church, going to church, going through the same old motions, going through the same old program, going through the same old thing every day, time after time, Sunday after Sunday, and I got sick and tired of it. But one day, I met Jesus. I met the real Jesus. And I preached a message one time, will the real Jesus please stand up? And that changed my life. See, we got to get in a place like Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus, the Bible said he was a man of short stature. And he heard that Jesus was coming. So he climbed, the Bible called it a sycamore tree, but I'm gonna call it a sycamine tree. See, when you get up higher than what you are, you stand down too low. God wants you to come on up higher. When Zacchaeus got up in the tree, and when Jesus came by, he didn't have to call Jesus. Jesus looked up and told him, Zacchaeus, come on down today. Salvation is coming into your house. See, when you come on up a little higher, when you come on up that you can see Jesus more clearly, when you get a Christ encounter, then you can see Jesus. And he'll notice you. He said, if you draw near to me, I draw near to you. So this time, it's time for us to just draw near to God. We've been standing in the background too long. If you in a ministry, if you got a ministry and it's been placed in your hand, you need to be doing something with it. When I was looking at the elder gates and all the gates that we had here, and I said, well, Lord, is all of them in operation? And it ain't the pastor, because he done put the gates out there for them to be used by the people. Now it's time for us to get stirred up. If you're in any one of these gates, if you're over any one of these gates, it's time to stir up your gate. It's time to move in position. Hallelujah. I like when it get quiet. I love when it get quiet. See, Jacob had a visitation first. Go over to Genesis 33, starting at verse 22. I had to show you the visitation before I show you the encounter. Hallelujah. Because I want you to get this tonight. Because once we get this encounter with Christ, we can't miss what God wants us to do here at CNC. We got everything that we need in here. We got everything that we need in the ministry. We got good pastors. We got good elders. We got good people. We got people that love each other. Just don't let that word, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it, just be words. We got to mean that from our hearts. Hallelujah, Jesus. Genesis, did I say, It's 32:22. Thank you. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his servant wives and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" this man asked. Hallelujah. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with man and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. He said, "Why do you want to know my name?" The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. And he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." He had him a God encounter. And it changed his course of life for the rest of his life. He was running and he was afraid of his brother. He was afraid his brother was going to kill him. See, you might be running. You might be afraid of some things. But God said, "Tonight I come and give you a Christ encounter. All your fears can be wiped away tonight. All the desperation, all the feelings that you had. You might be dealing with sickness or disease in your body tonight. But God said, I come to give you a Christ encounter that I can come into your life and change your life forever. And you don't have to deal with that situation no more." Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. One more example here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This third one is reaching the place of connection. See, when you reach your place of connection, then you can operate and have an encounter with God and do what God called you to do. You got to be connected with something. Don't think you can do this by yourself. You got to be connected with somebody or something somewhere. Because God didn't give you something to keep for yourself. I've learned down through the years. See, I used to be hard-headed. I couldn't stay up under authority. It was bothering me because of where I come from in the street. I was in authority. And I didn't want nobody to be over me. I made big money. I sold drugs and alcohol, and I drank it up, and I did everything with it, and I was in control. And when I came, when God saved me, He saved me at a funeral. That's why when I go to funerals, I get stirred up. I want to get somebody saved at a funeral. I'd be wondering why you don't have an altar call at the funeral. That makes me mad when they don't give an altar call at a funeral. I get stirred up. And God, when God stirred me up, man, He stirred up something because I was the life of the party. I had all my sister-in-laws, my brother-in-laws, everywhere there was a party, it was at my house. Because they know when they come, everything going to be good. Oh, I like to have fun, too. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke, the first chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about reaching a place of connection. Hallelujah. I'm giving you these examples tonight just to stir you up because everything that you need is right on the inside of you. And Paul told Timothy, just stir up the gift that your grandmother gave you, that you got down through the years, all the time and years you've been in ministry. God's saying tonight, just stir that up what's on the inside of you and I'll perfect it. You don't have to look for nothing else. You might have been going from church to church, searching for the right place, searching for the right people. God said, you're in the right place. Just stir that up what's inside of you. Stop running. He said that to somebody. I don't know who he said it to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's Luke, first chapter. Let me get there. Pastor, I appreciate you. Just, you've been a great man of God in my life. I never had a pastor like you all through my years, and I've been saved ever since 1992. I had people to raise me up in ministry, different pastors. I had lady pastors. I had men pastors. I had prophets. I had all of that. I've been through all the deliverance ministries. I've been through all of that. I went through it all. And every time that I got ready to really want to put my feet down in a ministry, God said no. Many of you have been to places that God just wanted you to be there for a minute for something to be imparted into you. Everything that each ministry imparted into me, I used it in ministry as I grew up. That wasn't my destiny. Everybody in here have a place where God have designed you to be at. And if you don't know that place, God will show you that place. All you got to do is ask Him, Lord, is this the place that you want me to be? A lot of times when you can't work in a ministry and put yourself forth, that's not where you're supposed to be. And you're waiting for God to give you a confirmation. He's already telling you. You know why? Because a lot of us go to ministers and try to put our vision in their vision. But it don't work. You find out the vision of the church and follow the leader. Paul said, follow me as I do what? Follow Christ. If you see him following Christ, then follow him. Ever since I've been here, I haven't seen nothing but the spirit of excellence. That's all I see. I'm sorry. I'm going to start at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It said, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days after, Mary hurried to the hill of Judea, to the town where Zacharias lived. She entered into the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I honored that the mother of my Lord shall visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." I want to stop right there just for a second. See, the angel, when he told Mary that Elizabeth was barren, but now she's pregnant and in her sixth month, that excited Mary. The angel didn't tell her to go see Elizabeth. That's not what he said. He just told her what was happening. But the Bible said a few days, I believe she just pondered on that thing and pondered on that thing. She said, "I got to go see what the angels have told me." And when she got over there, the Bible said that when she gave her greeting, that the baby on the inside leaped in her womb because he seen and he had an encounter with Jesus. That was John the Baptist's first encounter with Jesus. And when he was born, he already knew what to do. See, when you get an encounter with Jesus, see, you got to get at the right place, the right time, and the right moment to get your encounter. This was a place where she had to meet what was down on the inside of her that was going to bring this inside of me to pass. When you come here, whatever's on the inside of you and you meet what's here, that's down on the inside of you that's already impregnated in you, gonna come to life. Don't you like that? You like it here? I love it here. Because what was down in the inside of me stirred up in me when I came to CNC. I thought I had it together. I was passing the church, giving message after message after message after message, but it haven't stirred me until I got here. I tell them, don't let me loose. Because I'll stir something up. If you can stir a man up at a funeral, you can stir him up anywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you got to make that connection. If this is not the place that you connected to, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it in a derogatory way. I'm just saying, if this is not your place of connection, find your place of connection. If this is not where you can move in your gift or move in your giftings and callings, then this is not the place you're supposed to be. I ain't trying to run nobody away. I'm just telling you, get in your place. Get in your position. Get connected. I believe there's many ministries open in this place that people just need to just step into and begin to do what you call to do. And the pastor then opened up the doors. When I went to the first meeting that he told us, he said, oh, well, I'm opening up and people could, if you come and give me, lay down what you got to do or what you're doing and show me that you're qualified to do it, then I'm going to put you in that place. The doors is open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have this Christ encounter for even to be able to recognize where you are. Because if you're just playing church, then that's all you're going to have is church. If you're not really in it to win it, then it's not going to work for you. Hallelujah. After you hear this word of prophecy tonight, you're going to have a decision to make. And it's going to be up to you to make that decision. Hallelujah. When you reach that place of connection, that which pregnated inside of you is going to leap for joy. When something down on the inside of you is stirring you and you begin to move in it, and you know, things are not going to happen until you move out of that place where you are. If you're just sitting back, you're not going to see the power of God if you don't move. You got to make it move. The Bible says faith without works is what? Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep y'all long. Hallelujah. I'm going to do one more, and that's going to be it. And then I'm going to give the word of prophecy that God set me up here today. Go with me to Acts, the 9th chapter. Ninth chapter, first verse. Thank you. Said, meanwhile, Paul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters and address in the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of the followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do, what you must do." Then the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blinded. So his companions led him to the land to Damascus, by hand to Damascus. He remained there blinded for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so he can see again." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul had an encounter with Jesus. When he had his encounter with Jesus, it changed his life completely. See, when you have an encounter with Jesus, it should change the way you live. It should change the way you talk. It should change the way you walk. It should change the way you talk to people. It should change the way you treat your friends. It should change the way you treat your family. It should change the way you treat your church members. It should change the way you treat your pastor. It should change everything in your life. Many have been converted, but some people have not been transformed. It's have to be a transformation. Because the Bible tells us that don't be conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stop thinking like the world and get the word of God in your thinking. See, God trying to get a lot of us to Straight Street. We've been on a crooked road so long. We've been on a jagged road sometime. But God wants to get you right where he had Paul at. He had Paul on Straight Street, and he had Ananias to come and open his eyes so he can see. Now, some of us got to get off Straight Street, because if you come down to the altar, you can get on Straight Street and the Holy Ghost. Will change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to get on Straight Street? I do. See, if you think you're already straight, then you can't get on Straight Street. That was the word that we used out in the street when we walked up to somebody who wanted to sell them some drugs. We asked them, "Is you straight?" "Is you straight?" See, a lot of them wasn't straight. But what I had in my pocket got them on Straight Street. See, when you come to the house of God, you might not be straight, but if you come here and get the word of God, you'll get on Straight Street. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for the word of prophecy. Go to Zechariah. The fourth chapter. Zechariah, the fourth chapter. Hallelujah. Do you still love me? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Sorry, y'all. My pages are stuck together. I done used this Bible so long. And I love it. Because I usually go to right to the page. I'm so used to using. I got stuff wrote in here from 9 years ago. And I go back to it sometimes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. He said, then the angel who had been talking, fourth chapter? Okay, first verse. Then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me as though I had been asleep. What do you see now? He asked. I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, each having seven sprouts with wicks. And I see two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl. Then I asked the angel, what are these, my Lord? What do they mean? Don't you know? The angel asked. No, my Lord, I replied. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone on the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless you. May God bless it. May God bless it. Then another messenger came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies have sent me. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begun, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The lampstands present represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on each side of the lampstand? And what are the two olive branches that pour out golden oil through the two gold tubes? Don't you know? He asked. No, my Lord, I replied. Then he said to me, they represent the two heavenly beings who stand in the court of the Lord out of all the earth. Amen. Thank you, Father. When the Lord gave me that word, he had Pastor Louis and Tina Kayerton in mind. He said, the church of the North Coast is unlike the vision of Zechariah when he saw the candlestick of all the gold with the bowls on top and the seven lamps thereon and the seven pipes of the seven lamps which was upon it. Pastor Louis and Tina Kayerton, you are those two olive trees. You are those two olive trees. You are the two olive trees standing in the presence of God with the candlestick of gold with the bowl upon the seven lamps representing the seven ministries that will flow through your ministry. And the seven different anointings to accompany the ministries. that it will be a continuous flow of oil through you to the people's body as their lights will shine and be forever burning fire. As you stand giving us the word of God, God said, you are the olive tree that's standing there in the midst of God's throne, and he's continually flowing oil through you to the people that they can do and be what you have called them to be. And we're going to be a forever burning fire because the anointing that's flowing through you is coming out of you right into the body of Christ. And he said, everywhere that you go, it's going to flow out. That's why we got to have the fire, because it's going to come a time when pastor have to go somewhere else and be somewhere else. And we got to be able to do what we're supposed to do here in the ministry. I believe that everybody that you have chosen, the elders, every ministry, every man of God that's represented in this place, I believe they was appointed by God through you, and I believe the anointing that's on you. See, people like to come up to this altar. When they come up to this altar, they have a respect of person who they go to pray with them. But God said, it's not so. I have anointed them. And I say that with love. God don't have no respected person in ministry. We got different positions, and the higher your calling is, the more you're going to be required of you. I can't be a Pastor Kid. I have to be a Ron Moore, because if I try to be somebody else, I'll miss out being me. And you'll miss out being you. Be yourself. Be what God made you. Do what God anointed you to do. He said, you are like Zerubbabel, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And it's by the Spirit of God he would do it. He said that you were going to build a church from the ground up. And just as the prophets said, he said he's going to allow you to do it because you founded this place. He said when you founded it, he's going to make sure that your hands see it through. And it's not going to be about the resources. It's not going to be about the people. He said not by power nor by might, but by his Spirit. Everything that you need is here in your ministry. And God said, as you continue to flow, that everybody's going to grab it and everybody's going to be able to walk in the anointing that they're supposed to walk in. He don't want no jealousy. You don't have to be jealous of me. I don't have to be jealous of you. So God anointed me to do what I'm doing, and he anointed you to do. You might can't say what I say. Everybody is anointed to do what they're supposed to do. And we were sitting back waiting on confirmation, and God said, get up and do it. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor. I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Elder. Appreciate that so much. Thank you, Lord. I know you hunger for an encounter with God. And you can always tell when you have one, because something inside of you leaps, doesn't it? I had one of those today when I was reading my Bible. I don't ever want to go a day where I don't have a leaping encounter with Jesus. Whenever I can take it, whenever it doesn't impact me or affect me, I know then there's something wrong with my spirit. Because a man or woman can't stand in the presence of God and not be impacted. Let's stand up on our feet tonight. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes for a minute. Make it your heart's prayer. That like a Jacob, you'd see the ladder descending from heaven and God himself standing at the gateway talking just to you. Like Paul on that road to Damascus, that you and I would hear the voice of the Lord and blinded by his glory and only be able to see what he says. For from that point, Paul scribed nearly 2/3 of the New Testament. John, the Revelator, had an encounter with the voice of God that turned him around and receive the greatest revelation of Jesus. I like what I heard tonight. God's not a respecter of persons. You don't have to be an apostle Paul. You don't have to be a patriarch named Jacob. You don't have to be an apostle called John. You could just be you with a hunger for Jesus. Come on, lift your hands up to him. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just tell him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell him you need that encounter. Tell him you want that encounter tonight. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing that song. Let's worship Jesus. You and I are free to meet him.
Showers of mercy.
Thank you, Lord. We're free to know him. Thank you, Lord.
Falling on every face, there is freedom.
Just one more time. Come on.
Jesus,
aren't you glad he made you free?
Jesus reigns in this place.
Reign in my heart, God, tonight.
Showers of
mercy
and grace.
Reign in my heart tonight. I want you to take over.
Falling on every face, there is freedom.
While we're worshiping and you're here standing in this last moment together, perhaps you're really not born again. You've never had a face-to-face with God. Jesus is in this room and the Holy Spirit is drawing. He's luring you to him. He's convicting your heart and he's speaking to your soul. You say tonight, Pastor, that's right, it's me. I don't know that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Would you pray with me? That's you tonight all over this room. Nobody has to look around. Nobody needs to see you. Only Jesus is watching you. You say, that's me, Pastor. Would you send that prayer up for me? With a hand upraised, I can see that hand. You'll acknowledge your need. Anybody, just lift it high enough so I can see it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Our altar ministers are going to come as well and be ready to pray with you should you have any personal needs you want someone to agree with you about. They are anointed men and women, so please come now if you will, altar ministers. Also, I want to tell you that we have envelopes. I need that. We have envelopes there before you. And the offering will be received on the way out. I have to say that on Sunday, I think everybody forgot their offering. So if you did forget it, please put it in, because we rely totally on your gifts and graces to this ministry. If you're making a check, just make it out to CNC, and the offering bags will be on the way out. One final note, there's a benefit put on by L. Tortorella's class, graduating class, his friends from high school. If you don't know about L, for the last 5 years, he's been fighting brain cancer. He's had tumors removed. He's had many, many surgeries. And he and his wife, Joanne, matter of fact, I met with them today, right before service. And their two sons, they're having a benefit. We have papers about it out on the little table in the foyer this Friday night at Capelli's Party Center, Route 2 and Route 306 in Mentor. And if you can make it, that'd be great. Or they could also send benefits in regards to offering or a donation to them. There's information on that. I don't even know how many surgeries he's had. Does anybody know? A dozen or more? I'm not really sure. He's been in the, insurance has given up on him. So this is a family in our midst. We really want to stand alongside them, right? Amen. Well, live right up, everybody. Don't pick and choose, you know. God loves everybody. We certainly should. And pray hard. Times are tough. You know, God's speaking, isn't he? We had an earthquake on the East Coast the other day, and a hurricane is on its way up the East Coast. And God's trying to speak to a generation. Let's love on people. That's what they really need to see, the authentic love of God. Until next time, we'll see you. God bless you. If you need prayer, come.